It's very interesting. And John Sexton, then tell me, when did you come into the company?
Well, I started in Clondalkin Paper Mills in 72. I'm originally from Drogheda. My parents were both from Clare. But
How did you get a job there? And
one of my cousins worked there, and he was aware of an opening that was in one of the offices. So I applied for the job and got it. And when I started in the paper mill, I worked in what was called the standards office. And their function was to measure efficiencies, watch the throughput of paper, make sure that it was all accounted for, etc. And I did that for about 4 years and then moved into export sales. And I stayed in that role then until the mill closed in 1981.
Oh, now it would be interesting to talk about the sales side of it. Were you driving around the countryside, and or how were you operating?
Well, I was basically office bound, but I was export sales coordinator, which meant that I dealt with sales agents that the mill had appointed. There were two in the UK, one in Holland and one in Germany. So my function was to liaise between them and the production people at the mill.
And what year are we talking about?
I went into sales, I think, in about 76. 75, 76.
Tell me about the business. Was it good in those days?
It was good, yeah. The paper mill was quite small in terms of European standards, but they had a very good range of papers. Like Saggart paper mill, the Swiftbrook paper mill, they had three machines in there. The first one was for making primarily bag crafts, and they had what they called MG papers on there, which were machine glazed. It basically meant that it was a shiny surface on one side of the sheet, and that was ideal for making paper bags. The second machine, then, they made a lot of the higher quality printing papers.
Yes.
And the third machine then was used for making lighter weight papers, and particularly the likes of sweet wrappers, bread wrappers, and those types of papers.
Now, the home market was quite good. What was the market overseas like?
It was slow. The bulk of the production would have been taken up on the Irish market, but I think capacity in the paper mill was about 40 to 45,000 tonnes a year. It didn't always run 7 days a week. There were weekends where it might close down because of lack of orders. But, as I said, in terms of European mills, it would have been quite small. But it was fairly specialised. So it was really only in the last number of years that the export side of it started to take off.
And how were you driving this? How were you advertising it or selling it? Was it a hard sale, and how did you go about it?
Not particularly, because the management there at the time had appointed sales agents.
Yeah.
As I said, there were two in the UK, one in London, one in Manchester. There was one in Holland and one in Germany.
Yeah.
But these would be companies who specialise in dealing as agents with paper mills. So they would take Clondalkin on to sell the Clondalkin products, but they would have other mills that they would deal with, where Clondalkin were making a certain type of paper, say like a coated paper for producing magazines. Those agents would go to other mill groups, and they would sell that product on their behalf. So there tended not to be any conflicts of interest, where you had an agent, he was dealing with you for one range of products, but dealing with other mills then for different products that Clondalkin didn't make.
Yeah, and your customers, the people who were buying the paper, could you give me an idea? The shiny paper probably would sell to...
Well, you would have had people who were making the MG papers, the machine glaze papers, would have been sold to people who made and converted that paper into paper bags.
Yes.
For all sorts of applications. Equally, we had a lot of paper they made out there was for bread wrapper, where they made a lightweight paper, and that was shipped to one of their biggest customers was Superior Packaging, who were based over in Finglas, and they did a huge amount of the bread wrapper in this country. But they took, I think it was a 37 gram opaque GIP.
So Brennan's bread and Barry's bread and all these
that end juice. But they would take the base paper from Clondalkin and they would put wax on it. They would print it and put wax on it. So when you buy a sliced pan or a sweet wrapper, there's a waxy feel to it. That's a coating of wax that's put on. But it's printed and then put through a waxer. So that's how you get that very shiny effect.
I see, yes.
And the wax then is heat treated when they're sealing the wrapper, so it sticks together.
Well, you know, that was a ready market, if you like, because, you know, wrapping for bread was always was needed. But then other packaging, like paper, brown paper bags, like they went out of fashion quite quickly. And
they did, but Clondalkin did make the brown craft as well. But I suppose it's really only in the last 20-odd years that plastic bags have taken over to a significant degree. Whereas there was a huge requirement back, I suppose, when the paper mill closed, there probably wasn't a requirement for plastic. Plastic is a relatively new invention.
Yes, of course, yes. And that was really the downfall of paper mills, really, was the plastic. One of the bigger reasons, I would imagine.
It would have been partially responsible for it, yeah. But I think probably the death knell for Clondalkin was that the mill was quite small and old, but it was heavily dependent on the labour force.
Okay.
Whereas continental mills were far, far bigger. But they had very few staff because they were automated and computerised.